I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to another episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm your host Simon Fink and today's episode is all about the incredible Emily Warramara, a powerhouse First Nations songwriter who's returning with some new music this week and making a splash with her latest single, Magic Woman Dancing. Now, Emily isn't just an artist, she's an ARIA-nominated multi-award-winning force who shared stages with the likes of Midnight Oil, Mavis Staples, and Uncle Archie Roach. In today's episode, we're delving into the magic behind Magic Woman Dancing. Emily gives us the lowdown on what inspired this captivating new single and takes us inside her creative process, giving us a sneak peek into the alchemy that brings her sound to life. Now hold on to your headphones because we're not just talking music, we're also dissecting the wild and visually stunning music video that accompanies the song. Emily spills the details on the creative chaos that birthed this visual masterpiece. You'll be able to find links for the video in today's show notes. And for all of you music enthusiasts wondering what's next, Emily is going to share insights on what the future holds for her sound and whether we can expect some more music from her in the coming year. We want to give a massive shout out to Liz from Special Interest for pulling all the strings to make today's episode happen. Now, before we jump into today's episode, please make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your go-to podcast platform. Stay tuned for more fantastic episodes throughout this year by following us on our social media channels. Details for all are waiting for you in today's show notes. So let's get into it and dive into the world of Emily Warramara. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Emily Warramara. Emily, hello. How are you?
Hello, Simon. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really good. Yeah, very, very excited.
I'm glad to hear that you're good and I'm glad to hear that you're excited. I'm very excited to have you on. It is our first time chatting, hopefully the first of many chats, but I'm really excited because there's a brand new single out from yourself today, when people are listening. It's called Magic Woman Dancing. It's out right now. Firstly, congratulations on this single. How are you feeling with this single now coming out?
Look, I'm just so excited to be finally releasing music after a while. Had a bit of a break from releasing like my own stuff. And yeah, just the story, like excited for the story to be out there and just for everyone to see, I guess, me as this artist, and it's really beautiful. Yeah, I'm very proud of it. Very, very proud.
Of course, and as you should be. And very quickly, I do, as we're talking about the release date, I believe, and if I've got my facts incorrect, please correct me, is it also a birthday for yourself?
It is my birthday.
Happy birthday as well for the release. I think what better way to celebrate?
You know what? I kind of like forgot that, but thank you. Yeah, well, I just thought, why not? You know, I'm 28. My birthday falls on 2nd, 2024. So there's just this beautiful numbers of like 2 and like 8s and 4s. And I feel like that's magical. And, you know, why not?
I absolutely love that. I think, yeah, there's no, if you're going to put out new music, and as you said, it's the first music in a little while, what better way to celebrate your birthday and this new release than kind of together? So hopefully this Friday you are doing something special to celebrate both. As you mentioned, it is the first piece of new original music from yourself since the debut record, and I think that was back in 2018. How have I guess, what's been going on musically for yourself in that time? I think there was a small EP of lullabies in 2022, but I guess how long have some of these original songs been cooking away? How long have you been working on them?
Oh, my goodness. Some of these songs I have written when I was in high school. Some I've written recently. But this song in particular, Magic Woman, I wrote in high school. I think there's a lot of time. I think for me as an artist, I wanted to give myself a lot of time to understand myself a bit more, to understand my reasoning as to why I'm in this space and what I'm doing and how my music, I'm just a lot of reflection, appreciation, a lot of acceptance, a lot of forgiveness as well, because, you know, you're not the same person as you were when you were like 16 years old. Like, all of these things happen, and that's a lot that happens. 10 years is like a very short amount of time, or 14 years since I've written some, but yeah, it's been such a short amount of time if you think about it. And we go through so much as people, as human beings, that we should be allowed to feel. And I feel like this industry that we're in really doesn't hold space for that. You know, you have to be fast and releasing music, and you have to be quick onto things. But I've also come to realize, right, I am a human being, and I need to grow and be uncomfortable and then grow and then be uncomfortable again, and that's okay. I think that's really beautiful, and I think that's why, you know, this year I had been putting off the album for a bit because I wasn't ready to release my thoughts onto everyone and release my perspective of how I view things and how I feel things. I'm a very, very deep feeler in relation to music and to life and to everything in general. And I think that really comes out in this album and in these songs and in this project, and also with who's involved as well. You know, there's a lot of beautiful people involved in this behind the scenes that I've connected with over the years and recently, but have made a friendship. Like, everyone I work with in my space are my friends and people that I consider my family. I'm all about community, and I'm just really glad that my community can also be involved, and that love and appreciation is also reciprocated. Yeah, we're all safe in this space, and I'm feeling that. Yeah, I just feel so amazing and so good.
That's so good. I love that. With Magic Woman Dancing, as you kind of said, it was written, or like, I'm hoping that you'll elaborate for us, in that the song was written, or the basis of it was written while you're in high school, which was like some time ago, as you mentioned. From my understanding, what I've kind of taken from the song, and obviously in reading press about it and listening to it, and thank you very much for allowing us a sneak peek of the single before today, in that it's kind of talking about this woman being unburdened by, I guess, some of society's, I want to say shackles in a way, or the way that society is built and kind of sometimes unfairly. With this story, having this woman kind of go through and going, you know what, this is not for me, and I'm going to be living my own life. How was it that you kind of came across these lyrics? Was it that you'd been holding on to it and knew you wanted to do something with it? Or did you kind of go through an old journal, find these lyrics? I'd love to know how it kind of happened then and how it came back around to us in 2024.
Well, I've always just, it's one of those songs. See, my process with songwriting is so random. So sometimes I'll just like write a line and be like, oh, that's cool. And then all like a little melody comes to me. But usually I just press record and then just go for it, and then just brain vomit whatever is on my mind. And so with Magic Woman Dancing, I originally came up with the chorus. This is about a person, beautiful soul, beautiful, beautiful soul that I knew, who was just so liberating and free. And because, I guess, at my time, because of the environment I was around, the people I was around, the way I grew up, my cultural, you know, all of that beautiful, beautiful things that make up me, I couldn't find that within myself. And so there was this bittersweet jealousy that I had towards this person. And I didn't realize until, I was older, because I just sang the song and it was just like catchy. It was like the chorus bit that I wrote. And then there was this, I must admit, I was a little bit salty. That was just stuck in my head. And then when I came to, well, James, Kuya James, who is my co-producer on this song, I flew him down here to Lutruwita and we stayed at an Airbnb together in Nipaluna in Hobart. And I showed him this song and he was like, do you have, like, this is amazing. Do you have any more, like, lyrics and things? I was like, yeah, well, this is what I've been doing so far. And he was like, "This, are you going to put this on?" And I was like, yeah, like, I think I've come to terms and peace with that acceptance that you can be, as a woman, like, you can be in awe and you can be bittersweet, but that's the magical thing about this self-acceptance and freedom and growth, is that there's all these beautiful things that sometimes we can't have or we can't get to, but that doesn't mean that we can't appreciate it and we can't love it. Because everyone is worthy of that and everyone is deserving of that, most importantly ourselves. So I feel like the more we love and appreciate things and others, the more we come to understand ourselves, because we're letting go of whatever is holding us back or whatever is tying us back. We're accepting and we're forgiving. That means we're moving forward. We're getting uncomfortable because we're growing. We're not used to this. We're not used to these changes. But I think that's what this song really embodies. So, like, yeah, we recorded it under the stairs at the Airbnb, like just a little demo. And then I flew up to Larrakia country, up to Darwin, and I stayed at James's house, James and Katie Baker's house, Boat Ramp Studios, for I think three and a half weeks. And we did the album in January, finished it in January 2023, and did the song up there and just got all my friends involved. And, yeah, it was really chaotic, I tell you, really chaotic.
There is quite a list of liner notes for all the people involved in this song, so it is quite an impressive feat. You've done very well.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I have really beautiful friends who are so giving with their time and energy, and, you know, I think that really shows in the song. They really put a lot of heart and soul, and I said to them, make it sound like, you know, you're like the Witcher, like you're a bard, like, you know, really. Mm-hmm. Really, yeah, but the process of it and everyone involved too, everyone added their own magic to it, so that's special.
It definitely shows. The single is fantastic, as I said at the top. You mentioned Kuya James, who you co-produced the track with. I believe they've worked with AB Original and Daniel Johns. For you, how do you find the production side of things? Because obviously you've got a vested interest as the singer and the songwriter, but how does that process then change for you if you're also producing the track?
I think because I know the story of the track and I know the feeling of and embodied this feeling throughout the song, that I think James really, I feel like the bed and the foundation was there when I handed it over to James, because I was like, this is the story, this is the feeling, this is what I'm imagining, this is my vision. And he was like, okay, but how can we bring you into it? Because he really, I think, honed in that I wasn't just I'm not just a singer-songwriter. I do, like, write songs and I do write beats and I have written things before and really fun stuff. And he really wanted me to do that. He really wanted me to jump in and be like, I'm going to own this in my own way and my own instrumental way. And so he has a Moog at his house and it's incredible. Like, I was just blown away. I felt like a little kid in a little toy. I just kept pressing all the buttons and playing. I was just like, this is amazing. And he was like, you know, why don't you, like, jump on the Moog? Because the keys was the first, like, thing that I'm self-taught in keys. Have been playing from when I was 11 years old. And he got me on other projects to play keys as a session music, and he just loves, I don't know, he loves it for some reason. Even though I'm a weirdo when I play it all over the place, but it sounds good apparently. And so he got me on the Moog for this song, and I just got on, and there's like a really cool video of me like just jamming along, and we ended up using that in the song. And you know, it was just good to be there in the room with him while the stems were going back to Ben Edgar, who played guitar on this, and to Rowan Daly just lived down the road, so we went to his house to listen to some drums. Like, it felt so smooth and so beautiful the way everything came together. I feel like I had my producer's creative hat on, singer songwriter management hat on, like all these different hats on, but because I was around a bunch of people who made me feel safe and who made me feel seen and supported, and who also made me feel heard, because I think as a female producer, or when you're getting into that role, you have a lot of masculinity around you, you know, because when you think of a producer, you think of a male. And I know a handful of, more than that now, of beautiful female producers in this country that are exceptional at what they do. And you know, being in that space, I felt like I could say whatever and we could try it out. And even though it wouldn't work, there was no judgment because we were all there for the music. We all had our heart in the right place. And I think that really tells when with the production and how it's come through, that it is a collaborative process. But the story and the vision has always been the same.
I absolutely love that. I think there's something to be said, and we were speaking to someone recently. I'm just trying to remember which artist it was. I think it was a country music artist from the US, but the point kind of remains the same in terms of, I feel like for artists, getting into the production side and being able to tell the story from that perspective as well is also really important. It sometimes might come across as, I think sometimes have been like, artists have been labeled control freaks or whatever it may be, but I don't think that's the case. I think it, as you kind of, to your point, says it allows you to, you know, the story, you know, the how this whole kind of soundscape is meant to look and feel and sound, and it's important for you to be able to execute that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That goal succinctly, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I also believe that with art, like, and with artists, like, we're growing, we're changing. I feel like this industry expects us to kind of have this one branded look based on the trend or what's happening or what everyone's popping off and listening to. But for me, the artists that are timeless are those that are true to themselves and authentic to their true selves. And they go through it. They go through their ups. They go through their downs. They go through this journey. But there's this humbleness and grounding that comes with them, because they understand what it's like to be like nothing. And I think that comes with hard work and time and patience. You know, you've got to understand that this space is so small, and everyone really is out here to support each other and to cheer each other on. We're all a part of, I guess, a system that doesn't make us feel like we can be that. And so I guess doing things in this way and leading by example with the people that I'm with, but also with the music I'm creating now, I want to break boundaries, and I want people to understand that you can build a safe community around you and still be in this industry because you've made your safe space and people are welcome to that. But I think that as well, when it comes to like that reflection to producing, to songwriting, I've always wanted to make sure that when people and whatever stories I'm telling, I want people to just feel it and to understand that they're allowed to feel whatever they're going through, and that whatever they're going through is so valid and so reasonable and so beautiful because, you know, we live in a society where we're so busy all the time. We're always talking about work and we're always talking about, like, what we're going to do next instead of, hey, let's stop and think about what we're doing now. Let's just take a deep breath. Let's look at the tree. Let's look at the carvings and the etchings. Let's look at the leaves. Like, let's appreciate what we're in now instead of letting it go. And I think that this song really, really honors that. Yeah, there's a lot of things happening, but there's also this thread and this storyline that just makes it, like, I feel so epic. Yeah, I feel like I'm about to go on, like, this epic journey and, like, go, like, meet up with Aragorn or something.
I'm glad that you've used that reference because the music video, anyone who's listening to today's episode, the music video for the single has also come out today. And Emily, this music video, I'm going to say, has to be influenced by Lord of the Rings. It is epic. There's quite a lot going on and it's also stunningly shot as well, so congratulations on that. But yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about this video, because I don't want to give too much away, but there's a number of fantasy influenced items going on here.
Yeah, well, look, so Claudia Santiocci directed this video, along with Pork Store Productions, who, you know, brought their team and the equipment along. Shout out to Marcus. This was filmed in 3 days down here in Lucha Rita across, I think, 6 different locations. There's all these characters that are involved. So when I first came with the idea and you know, these songs have been in the works, but also my creative visions have been in the works behind the scenes. I've been plotting away, I've been saving, I've been collating, I've been Googling, lots and lots of Googling. And I just wanted to wait until I found, I guess, the right person to capture the story and to capture what I wanted everyone to see. So I love Lord of the Rings. I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. I love Star Wars. My favorite movie is this movie called Legend, and it's got Tom Cruise in it. It's a very, very old movie. It's, I think it's from the 80s, 86. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene there where I think the first time I watched this movie, I was like 7 years old. Very young. I think, yeah, very young. And there's a scene where there's this devil, and I had a crush on the devil, and I was just like, I'm going to put this fantasy, whole fantasy, like, sci-fi thing, like, into this film clip, because I really wanted to come out with a story, this adventure, that this rebirth, like, I wanted this to show my rebirth and how, you know, I've gone through all these trials and tribulations, and how, you know, Gabriel Comfort, who is the main character of this, plays this, I don't know, this ethereal being who is walking through this forest, this enchanted forest, and he takes us through this journey where he meets with all these different characters. And so he meets with me, who's like the sorceress. So I play 2 characters, the sorceress and the devil. My beautiful partner, Kai, he plays this this wisdom, like, bird creature who, like, comes through and, like, shows and guides him. He's like the guide, the I don't know, and then he meets with, like, my mum, who's this oracle, and they have this moment where they have this shared dance with their hands, and she's blessing him with ochre to go into this battle. So all these scenes were based on a poem that I had written around in a book that I didn't know that I named intentionally after something, which that's going to be released later on. So all of this is tied in because I love writing little novels and little fantasy, like things about like Aboriginal vampire slayers and like Aboriginal vampire hunters, like all this really fun stuff. And so I think that's, yeah, I really wanted that to come out in the visual of this and show this journey, but also like all of these little things that influenced me, like my mum in there, like my partner, like, you know, my friends. There's all these extras that came where who had to wear masks. And it was really, really funny because the mask you can't see through. So there's a scene where Gabe is in the middle and I'm kind of like about to attack him as the devil, and these people like are surrounding him with masks with stones, and they put up their arms to go throw the stones, and obviously we don't throw it at Gabe, but one of my best friends accidentally hit me on the head and so with the stone. And so my friends were like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? And so I collapsed. I was like, oh yeah. And people can tell if I was bleeding because I had like this red makeup, or it was like the makeup, and I was like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And so we had to reshoot it again, and it was just, it was a good moment. Like I feel like there was just, yeah, it was so much realness and so much heart went into this, and I really wanted to honor everyone as well for being so patient and release this film clip as well for everyone to have like just something to look at while watching the song.
Well, again, it's an incredible job, and now knowing, I guess, the context and some of the stories behind it in terms of being able to have, as you said, your partner, your friends, your family, your loved ones be part of it, I think it makes it even that even more, sorry, can't even say it right, even more special. Makes it, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely love it. It will. We will be putting the link to your YouTube channel in the show notes for today's episode so that people are able to check out the video straight after our interview in this episode. I wanted to talk a little bit about taking this song to the live arena, to the live setting. I know that you've got some shows coming up. I think we've got a festival called Panama, the Gumball, Ride the Wave as well. How are you feeling about being able to kind of, now with this song coming out, take it out and be able to play it live to people?
Yeah, well, look, I think that's the magical thing, because I always, like, for me, it's like one of those things, like, how am I going to take this song when I'm recording it? How am I going to take it and replicate that as in a live performance, you know? I've never used backing tracks before. And so with this song, I've had to use backing tracks, and it's a whole new experience for me. So last year I went and flew to Darwin, to Larrakia country, and I stayed there for almost a month and rehearsed every day with my band to perfect the live performance for not only this song but all of the other songs, and then working on how we can, you know, zhuzh up my live performance. So Kuya James, who is also my co-producer, he is also my musical director and my bass player. And so having someone who knows and understands the process behind the songs, who has access to the stems, who also can silence things, like it's just, it makes things so much easier having having a collaborator and having someone like that to bounce off to. And also it's just great because my band is based up in Larrakia country, so I get to go home a bit more, which is even more great. But yeah, I think that with these live shows, I'm not worried at all. Like I feel like we know them like the back of our hands, and you know, everyone who's involved in it has put their whole everything into the sound. And I think that I really feel like, you know, even though it's me as Emily Woodamara, like I have my whole team behind me, and that's what makes me, I guess. And I just have these amazing, I don't know, cool songs that everyone apparently likes, and they just want to be deadly and hop on board and help. So, yeah, I couldn't do it without them. It truly does take a village.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And I know I wanted to very quickly touch on as well before we do have to wrap things up is that I know on top of your musical endeavours as well, you're also an advocate, I believe, for a number of initiatives, and charities. I think one of them being the fantastic Kennel & Co., which empowers First Nations artists of kind of a number of different backgrounds, women, transgender, non-binary, in their, I guess, in their journeys in the music industry and helping to support them. Obviously, it is a fantastic cause, so not even to kind of address that, but like for you, was it always important to be able to use the platform that you have to be able to then go and continue to ensure that the next generation coming up have that same support?
I think after being in this space and having my own understanding and journey, but also having the opportunities that I've had a lot of young ones who come up and be like, how do you do this and how do you do that? And I just automatically find myself being like, oh, well, this is like how I get to this, or this is how I had that yarn with that person. Like for me, there's no gatekeeping. There's no like, oh, no, like you're at this level. I've always been that kind of person to help people, because I've had people who are older than me and surrounded by them tell me what not to do and how not to be in this industry, I guess, or even just as a person, like learning by others' mistakes and then learning by my own mistakes. I've come to understand that there's a lot of information and a lot of things that don't get talked about, especially when it comes to financial wellness or touring, or, you know, putting in rituals before you do things, understanding what a publicist is, understanding what a publisher is, like all of these conversations that aren't being had on a deeper level. Like there's a surface level conversation. I think joining with Kerry and yarning and doing this artist assist program can show Mob like, you can be sustainable in this industry. You can have a career. You can call the shots. You actually are the boss. And I think showing people that they have that power and them understanding that power it makes me feel like, yeah, things are cool and things are great, because we're upskilling, we're educating, we're unlearning, most importantly. We're taking back our power and we're inspiring change and growth in this industry, and how we as artists, but also session musicians, poets, creatives in general, should be treated and should be valued. Mm.
100% agreed with that, and it is a fantastic initiative. Similar to the song itself and the music video, we will have the details for Kennel & Co. in the show notes for today's podcast. So anyone searching for further information will be able to find that information there. Emily, I wanted to ask lastly, we would usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's kind of on high rotation for yourself?
At the moment, I've actually been listening to a lot of classical music just because, like, I don't know, when I do listen to music and things like that, it's, I've got to feel it, and I've just been listening to a lot of how can I explain it, like movie soundtracks.
Yeah
like music scores, like Pirates of the Caribbean music score. I like Coco music scores. Like, I feel like lyrics can get so overwhelming sometimes with music, and I really appreciate music, but for some reason I'm starting the year off with classical. I don't know why.
I can 100% appreciate that. I think there is something to be said when you've got like a really good score, there's no lyrics to kind of influence how you feel. The music itself is just doing the influencing, if you will, to kind
like the instrumentation is just as important as the lyrics. Like that's a bed for these things, like, you know, to sit on, for that feeling to sit on. I think there's a true appreciation in all perspectives of music. But when I meet deadly session musos, or like a deadly guitarist or violinist or celloist, like, they don't come around that often, and there aren't many deadly ones out there that are doing it for the music, you know. And so when that does happen, when I do hear something, or when I do meet someone, there's just true appreciation and love for who they are and what they bring to this art and to this creative space, because that's so important, because that's a story too that needs to be told. Lyrics, the wind makes noise, that's a story. Like, you know, the sea, the ocean, they're all stories that need to be heard and deserve to be heard too.
100% agree. I think there is something special about scores, instrumental music that you can tell has come from a really special place that doesn't need that kind of, and again, nothing wrong with lyric music music that has lyrics either, but it is, there's something special to be said about that as well. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. And Emily, congratulations on Magic Woman Dancing. The single is out today. As I've mentioned, all details and all links will be in the show notes for people to be able to access the single. But thank you again for coming onto the podcast. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon. It's just been, really deadly. I had so much fun yarning with you, and hopefully we can yarn again soon.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.